God, in the name of Jesus, I'm the host for the message today, Pastor Landis Fisher of Straight Gate Ministries and St. Timothy Missionary Baptist Church. It is a blessing to come before you today. Amen. We're a little delayed, had some technical issues in an extended call just before the Bible study time, so we had a few buttons to push. We're a little out of sync, so I want to thank God that we're able to get started now. And so we thank God that you've hung around if you have. And we want to get into the Word today and talk about the goodness and the mercy of God. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you today, Father. Praise you for all your mercy and all your grace. Father, we lift you up because your name is excellent and you are worthy to be praised. Father, we give you all the honor, all the praise, and all the glory. Father, you have blessed us in so many ways through this week, Lord, that we just want to thank you right now, Lord. We want to ask for covering, God, and protection for those who are struggling out there with illnesses of any sort. Lord God, we thank you for the ones you healed and got them up off the bed of affliction. We thank you for the protection for all of the ones who didn't get any sickness or any hurt or harm or danger, Father, and that was most of us. So, Father, we just thank you and we give you praise. We give you glory. Father, we thank you for the activity of our limbs that we're clothed and in our right minds. Father, we thank you for a reasonable portion of health and strength. Father, we want to bless you for all the mothers and all the babies, Lord God, everybody on every end of every age group. Lord God, just bless today because we know you're able. And Father, we thank you that you've given us the privilege to serve you in these latter days, Lord God. And we ask you today, Lord, forgive us all of our sins, every transgression. Help us, oh God, to walk in a way that's well-pleasing in your sight. And Father, we pray for your church all over the world, wherever she is, Lord God, because we know that she comes from every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And so, Father, we thank you for your universal church all over the world, Lord God, wherever she is. Father, we ask you to bless this lesson today, Lord, that we might enrich our minds in the deep things of your word. I want to thank you for all the supernatural things you did through this week, Lord. Some of them we saw, some we didn't, but we know you are always on your throne working out everything, Lord God, for the good of those who love you and are the called according to your purpose. So bless us this evening with more wisdom, more understanding, and we'll give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We want to thank you for Jesus today, and we bless his holy name right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, oh God, and we want you to ask you to take our minds deep into your word today, Father. Teach us some things we did not know. Help us to understand some things and to take some bold strides, Lord God, walking in faith. And we give you all the praise, all the glory. Bless your word as it goes forth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Hallelujah. He is always worthy of our praise. Amen. Now, we started talking about some things on last Lord's Day, and we want to kind of get back to it because it seems that time just goes by so quick when you're getting into the Word, and so we want to take time. There were a few more things that the Spirit had put on my heart to talk with you about, and we want to talk about those today. Amen. I know whatever you're going through, I get a lot of letters and text and emails and messages and all that. So I want to try to address some of those things that you have talked about. But we were taking a look at this topic, and I just want to mention it again, navigating through life with secret information. And what we mean by that is, how do we make it through this life? This life has got all kinds of turns and things that you don't expect. Like, who would have ever thought that this year would be the way it was? I just leave you with that. There's so many things that come up that are like just kind of out of the ordinary. And so you and I need supernatural knowledge. God has granted it, and it is available for whosoever believes that the gospel that God gave his son Jesus and raised him from the dead, you are eligible by God to receive supernatural knowledge from his word. Now, we mentioned this last time just to get us back into that train of thought in case you happen not to have been here. We were talking about how the world is divided into only two groups in the sight of God. And this has been the case from the first advent of Christ up until now. God had another means of justification in the old covenant because he had promised that the law would be like, as Paul says, unto the Galatians, a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law never saved anyone. It was good, it was holy, it was just, it was perfect. It proceeded from a totally righteous God. But the problem was never on God's end. That's the thing we have to understand. The law of God is a beautiful thing. If we could just get the world to practice the law of God, that would be wonderful. And the truth is, we do the best we can. And in Judaism, in the Old Covenant, they did the best they could. But the fact is, even within the law, it had ordinances, rituals of certain sorts, which were sacrifices that God had commanded that would be done on a routine basis. And for example, just to give you one out of there, they had the Yom Kippur, which means the Day of Atonement. That meant there was a day when the high priest would come and make a sacrifice for the sins of all the people and carry a blood offering after he made a sacrifice for himself into the most holy place for the sins of all the people. And so that lets you see that all the people sinned, including the priest. And so that means that the law itself was nothing wrong with the law, but it had a provision for sacrifice. In the scripture, it's always taught from the very beginning that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, no forgiveness of sin. Remission is just a fancy word that means payment or that you owe. Like, for example, you get a gas bill and it will say your address, your name, this much last month, this much you owe, please remit. In other words, please pay is what that means. So the remission of sin means the payment. There was, without the shedding of blood, there was no payment for sin. But so God allowed them throughout all that time, all the way from the sin of Adam, clear on up until the cross, men and women, boys and girls were able to come on that Day of Atonement and make a blood sacrifice. And then, of course, the high priest would make a sacrifice for all the sins of all the people. There were other ordinances of sacrifice that had to be done along the way. But the scripture teaches very clearly that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. But the fact that it says you have to make a sacrifice for sin is the proof that shows you no one ever completely kept the law. Because otherwise you wouldn't need a sacrifice. If you kept the law and you were perfectly spotless, without a blemish, without any sin, there's no need for you to make a sacrifice. But the truth is, no one ever kept God's law perfectly. Not a soul. People tried. It is a good goal to set. But no one kept it perfectly. And so therefore God made ordinances to make a way for people to still be saved or covered from their sins as long as they acknowledged that they had sinned. And so when we get to the New Testament, what we have, there's a lot of other things we could talk about in the ordinances in the law. And as Paul said in Romans, that there is, the law itself is holy, just, and good. There's nothing wrong with the law. The problem is with this one right here, with me. I have a problem. I cannot keep God's law perfectly, even though I try with all my might. As Paul confessed in the book of Romans chapter 7, he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am," verse 24, "who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He said, because I'm in a fleshly body, makes it very difficult for me to keep the law. I might be trying with all my might, but I find myself coming up short. He says, "I delight after the law of God, in the law of God, after the inner man." In other words, I want to do it. The will is there, the desire is there, but I don't find the strength in my flesh to fully fulfill everything that God has said. And so he said, that's why he cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Then he says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord." And so what we have to see, and where I want you to go here with this, as we learn how to navigate with secret knowledge from God, once the gospel was revealed, which is what happens when Jesus, who is God in the human flesh, who came and fulfilled all the promises of the Old Testament that God had promised all the way from the beginning, that he would send the Messiah, the Moshiach Nagid, that's a Hebrew phrase that means Messiah, the Prince. The fact that he is a prince means he's the son of the king, the Most High God. And Jesus is Messiah, the prince. He is the Moshiach, which is the Hebrew word, and we mentioned this in the previous lesson. It's transliterated into the Greek, the Christ. He is the one that God promised all the way from the very beginning. And he came and shed his blood. He was also called in John 1:29, the Lamb of God. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God." who takes away the sin of the world. So what we see there is God sending the ultimate sacrifice, the only one who did keep his law perfectly, and as I like to say, from everlasting to everlasting, but in the physical sense of Jesus' birth, we say from the womb to the cross, he was 100% perfect and without sin. Therefore, he was the only one that was able to keep God's law fully. Therefore, when you put your trust in him, his righteousness is imputed to you. That means God charges his righteousness to your account and to my account just by faith when we believe in him. So when you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe that God has raised him from the dead, the book of Romans says you shall be saved. Now, saved just means God takes you out of the kingdom of darkness, moves you into the kingdom of his beloved son. He takes you out of the kingdom of death and sin, the law of sin and death, and moves you into the kingdom of the righteousness which his son provides for whoever believes in him. And so God is the one that is giving that grace. He was the one that gave the grace to the old covenant saints to allow them to be saved. And it was on a future charge, or so to speak, to Christ when he would come eventually. And so they were always looking for that ultimate one who would come and do away with the problem of sin once and for all. So this is just kind of a nutshell of where we were talking in the last lesson. And I want you to understand today, what can you do to navigate through life with secret information? Now, what happens when you get saved? There's a transaction that takes place. God the Father, on the basis of the work that God the Son did and the faith that you have in him, he imputes the righteousness of Christ to everyone who believes in him. And he also seals us with the Holy Spirit. Check that out in Ephesians chapter 4. He says there, verse 30, that we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit of God by wherewith we have been sealed for the day of redemption. God puts the seal of the Holy Spirit on each one of us who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when you trust in Christ, he gives you his righteousness. His sacrifice pays the bill for all of your sin, past, present, and future. You know, he retroactively saved everyone who believed from the Garden of Eden clear on up to the cross, went back and by faith and imputed his righteousness to all those who died of the seed of Abraham in faith, who had not received the promise, like it says in the book of Hebrews. And then going forward from that time, that's why time is divided on the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And you and I should understand that. We want to understand the fact that that's why he's in the middle of time, and it's 2020 years since Christ was born. And so that's why it's very important for you and me to believe in him and trust in him. That's why we simplify that with John 3:16, for God so loved the world he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Once you are saved, that means you trust Christ, you believe God raised him from the dead, and the resurrection is the proof or the badge of the fact that Christ was the sinless one who satisfied God once and for all, and he did it for you. And it's the privilege of the church, that would be me, not the building, the people who are called out by God. They're called the ecclesia, and that's translated church. And that means all of us who have been called out or called on, we're called out by God to come out of that group of those who are lost and without Christ in the world and come into his family to be adopted, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And then he infuses you with specific knowledge that's very secret. Now, it's really, in some sense, it's almost a paradox, because so many people have the book in their hand. They have God's word in their hand, but they open it and it's still closed because they have no faith. So what happens when the faith transaction happens? God gives you the Holy Spirit and he opens up your mind to understand what he really is saying. And therefore, you can benefit from that knowledge in a way that an unbeliever will never benefit from it. And so that's why we call it secret knowledge. It's only secret, and the secrecy is on your part, not on God's part. Because if you reject the truth, then you have no revelation of what the truth says. This is why Jesus taught in parables, and he said things like that a sower went out to sow, and he cast the seed every which way. He was sowing everywhere. That's what God does. He gives the word out to the whole world through individuals such as myself and others who preach the gospel. And then he talks about what happens. The word, he said, the seed is the word of God. So God is seeding the world all the time. He wants people to believe the truth. And you know what? The seed falls in different places. It falls upon many different types of soil. He said some fell by the wayside, and some fell upon stony ground, and some fell among the thorns and the thistles, but other fell upon good soil, and it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So he's saying it's not the seed, that's the word of God. Everybody gets the word of God, but it's what you do with it. What kind of soil are you to receive God's word? Do you receive the seed up on the good soil? If you do, it produces some fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Then he explains the people who reject the word, and that's the other half of the people, or let's say the part of the world who does not believe the good news once it has been preached. What he says, there are some fell among by the wayside, and the fowls of the air swooped down and just ate the seed, and it never produced any fruit. And he said, those are them who are deceived by the wicked one who comes and snatches the word right out of their heart. If you don't believe God, then God will not share with you the secret knowledge that he'd like you to have. He's published the same book for believers as well as unbelievers. The word of God is there for believers as well as unbelievers. The Holy Spirit is there for believers only, but not for unbelievers, because unbelievers will not receive it. And God doesn't force his way into your life. So the great news is when you trust God and believe that he sent his son Jesus to pay your bill in full, then you move out of the category of people who reject God or say there is no God or say something or someone else is God other than who God has clearly established in the world. And that is his son, Jesus, around whom the whole world is centered. This entire world, no matter where you look, is centered around Christ, the person of Jesus the Christ. And the whole time system of the world is centered around Christ. So you can reject him against all that knowledge. And if you do, then God says, well, there's no need in me sharing secret knowledge with you. You can do it yourself because he doesn't force anyone to believe. But if you trust him, that's what the word says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Now, see, that's that hard heart, the one that he said the seed was cast and it went by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came down and swooped it up, and it was not fruitful at all. So you can shut your mind to the truth and the fact that God loves you just like you are, and he gave his son Jesus and allowed him to suffer an ignominious, cruel death on a cross, which he had prophesied in his word, in order to give you and me, even though we're rank sinners, we have never done everything right. You know what? We can continue to try, and we ought to, and I admonish you to do the best you can, but you will never satisfy God on your own. If you have as little as one sin, keep this in mind, a lie is on the same list with murder. You shall not lie, and you shall not murder on the same list. And that's because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's an old baking term that means just a dash of leaven makes the whole loaf swell up and is full of sin. And so the fact is, it only takes one little bit to disqualify you. But Jesus came that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. He wants to give you the abundant life and afford for you things you could not pay for yourself. And so that's why we call that news the gospel. It's good news that God loves you, gives his son to stand in the gap between you and the wrath of God to deliver you from the law of sin and death. And so then once you do that, God doesn't leave it up to us to get it by ourselves. You know what? No matter who you are, no matter what your level of education may be, any of that has no bearing on the fact that God loves you. When you trust his son and believe that he raised him from the dead, which is to me the primary reason why we should trust Christ and believe him. Who else do you know who got out of the grave and lives forevermore? No one else can have that credential at all. No one has that credential, let me say, that they can get up out of the grave, shake off death, and say, behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and hell. Nobody has done that but Jesus. And so when you trust Christ, God will give you the Holy Spirit as a result of your faith, and you can ask God to fill you with the Spirit. You know, you are baptized in the Spirit, the Scripture teaches, when you trust and when you believe, and then we are to be being filled with the Holy Spirit by worship and praise and study and saturating our own selves in God's Word. When we do that, the supernatural gift of the Holy Spirit is given to you to carry out the work of We would call it progressive sanctification is a good term. In other words, he takes you just like you are, wherever you are, no matter how sinful you may be. He accepts you on the basis of faith in his Son, Jesus, the perfect one. And he gives you his righteousness and gives you his Spirit to lead you and guide you to all truth. And so it's a matter of your own personal decision. Have you decided that you need Christ, that you cannot make it on your own? You know what? He came to his own first, to the Jews, and his own received him not. They rejected him and crucified him. Now, there are some believing Jews who are now saved and they're a part of the church, but that's what the church is by definition. In the scripture, read Ephesians 3, you'll see that it is an organization of every kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. And it's both Jew and Gentile, with the middle wall of partition being broken down in order that whosoever trusts in Christ can be saved. And so once you do that, this is what we're talking about in this lesson. We showed you this in the Psalms as we looked in last week's lesson on Sunday. It said that he who dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. See that? That's the devil's activity in the world. He's trying to trap you and steal the word of God right out of your heart, as it is in that parable of the sower. Or he'd like to get you hung up in the world. And he said that when the seed was sown and it fell among the thorns and thistles, he said that's where people who had so much of the cares of this life and the troubles of this life allowed the word not to be fruitful in their life. And it was choked and they could not receive blessing from God's word. So these are people who have never been saved. They may have heard the word and then for some reason they have rejected it. And it was never fruitful and produced the fruit that God has designed for your life. And so we see that there. And there's these different soils show you that the word of God is the same, but the fruitfulness of the word of God is based upon whether you receive it or not on good soil. So we hope that you do. All the people in that parable that are saved are the ones to whom the seed was sown on good soil, and it produced some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. That means you could have a more fruitful spiritual life if you understand and connect with God through the Holy Spirit and allow him to teach you new things. And he will always do that. He has promised to do it. So this psalm says that it is he who delivers you from the devil's tricks, just to give you a paraphrase of that verse, and from the deadly pestilence. God offers you protection from other things in this life that you would otherwise not be able to be protected from. He will cover you with his pinions, the Old Testament says here in the King James, the KJV. It says his feathers in other translations, which gives you a picture of a mother hen brooding over her chicks to protect them from the wolf or whoever may come up on him. But now those pinions, I actually did a study, and you find out the pinions are the tail feathers all the way back at the end of the feathers and the wings, let's say. And those pinions, they turn them different directions to control where they fly. So in other words, when you see an eagle all stretched out flying through the air, all he has to do is turn a few of those pinions out on the end and he can bank a turn, or it controls his direction. So God says, I want to control your direction, and if you trust my word, I will cover you with my pinions. I will guide you and lead you to all truth. I'll give you swift flight into an area where it would have been hard for you, but I can open up a door that no man can shut, and I can shut a door that no man can open. So if you want that power of God in your life, trust Christ, believe God is raising from the dead, receive from the Holy Spirit, be truthful about your situation, go to God in confession and prayer and tell him about the things you struggle with, and he will direct your path. That's why it says in Proverbs 3, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. I have people say that all the time. Pastor, I don't quite understand. You know what? Pray. Take it to God. Talk with him about it. Let him minister to you, and he's going to guide your steps. He goes on to say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. And so if you want God's pinions to turn and move you in the direction that's a blessing to your life, trust him and believe that he has given his son for you. He has already shown you the supreme illustration of how much I love you. I love you this much that I would allow my own son to be spit on, crucified, mocked, ridiculed, put to shame, disgraced, in order to save wretches like me and you. It's awesome. It's an awesome thing to think about. So if you want some extra power navigating through life, give God as much of your mindset as you do that navigation device that you use when you want to find out to get to a place. It says turn right into the next corner and you turn. So just start to learn to hear the voice of God like you do your navigation, and make a left when you go 200 feet. And he will tell you every step of the way what you should do. And I'm learning this better myself. And so this is why we know it's a progressive work of salvation. But looking again at Psalms 91, he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield. That means I'm blocking stuff that the enemy wants to put in your life. I can stop it right in the middle of where it is. And a bulwark. That means I have a heavy armament around me in the protection that God provides. Isn't that awesome? You know, I love God. I have to say I love him. And I'm glad he loves me. Amen. Moving on, he says, you will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day. See, there's a lot of threatening stuff in this world. And he says, if you trust me, and by faith trust my son, believe my love for you, then I'm going to protect you from all kinds of danger that's all around you all the time. And let me say, beloved, I know I've been protected. I know my wife has been protected. I know many members in my church family have been protected. And I've seen so many dangerous things from which we have been protected. You know what? God may not take you out of a situation, but he'll take you through the situation if you trust in him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. He'll take away that fear. It's because there's a fear that gnaws on a lot of people all the time because of all the stuff going on in the world. A lot of bad news comes on. Some people can't get their mind off the bad news. So this is why I'm telling you, trust God. Allow him to show you and navigate for you and tell you which way to go and give you that peace that passeth all understanding. Of course, Isaiah says in chapter 26, that if we trust in God and keep our mind stayed on him, that he will give us perfect peace. Now, we really need perfect peace. I think that's a beautiful thing, that God can give you a peace that passeth all understanding, like Paul said, and when you put your faith and trust in him. Now, notice this. He says here that not only of the, he said, well, not only will he guide you from the terror, he will protect you at night, and the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness. Stuff like viruses and sicknesses. Doesn't mean we won't get it, but if he takes me through it, then I'm ready for that. I need protection. I don't want to be fearful of anything. So I got to keep my trust in on God. And it doesn't necessarily mean you won't have any of these things. It just means that God says, I will be with you, even in trouble. Notice what he says here. He says, or the destruction that lays waste at the noonday, Psalms 91:6. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord, my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation or thy dwelling place. God says, dwell in me. Practice it. Start to practice it. Get up thinking about me. Go to bed thinking about me. If you wake up in the middle of the night, think about me. I'm there with you to deliver you. I want to have that fellowship, that closeness with God. Now, you know, I want to say this. I feel that God now is moving our ministry into a new season. And so I'm looking forward to closer fellowship and communication with God on the spiritual level. And I hope that that's the case for you too. I hope you know that God is able to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. If you trust and believe in him, he will give you a peace that passeth all understanding, that goes beyond regular human understanding. So when Jesus came, I want to move you to Matthew chapter 16 right now. This was our second text, and I had a few more comments that I wanted to make on this also, about navigating through life with secret information. God wants to reveal to you deep truths from his word that I promise you will bless you. If you get into these things, start to meditate on them day and night. That's why the word says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. There could be some things you just want, and God knows, okay, you want those, you're my child, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Doesn't mean I'm going to go asking God for supernatural, all kinds of stuff, you know, necessarily material stuff. What I think the best things are in life, and I just want to share this with you, are things that cannot be touched. There's a lot of things like peace is worth more than material objects and things of that sort. And, you know, whatever material stuff we have, we need it while we're here. But the fact is, you're going to leave it. So I would rather leave a legacy for people and also have some peace myself as I'm going through than necessarily to worry about those things. But God has not excluded those things. I wish I had time to tell you all the people who were blessed with great wealth and great riches that are discussed in the Word. We'll take that up as a subject on another day. So God's not against that. He's just against, if you have money, that's fine. I always like to say, but if money has you, that's a problem. So we want to learn how to get where we have money, but money does not have us. You see, we don't want to be like the rich young ruler who went away disappointed when Jesus told him to sell everything you have and give to the poor. And then you will have riches in heaven. Say, lay up some treasure in heaven, not on earth. He says, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But rather lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, neither do thieves break through or steal. So God wants your heart to be in the right place about material wealth. We have to talk about that on another time. But here in Matthew 16, just a few more things. Notice this. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, now notice this is a Gentile area. It's named after Caesar and King Philip, great Philip the Great. Caesarea Philippi, there's a coast area there that's named that in that area in Israel. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am? What's the word going around on the street about who I am? And they started to answer here as we get to the next verse. He says, some say, in verse 14, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So people are saying great things about who they think Jesus is. And then he said unto them, but whom do ye say that I am? He asked them, who do you, my disciples, who do you say I am? And I want to ask you that question. Who do you say Jesus is? And Simon Peter, through the movement of the Holy Spirit, gives this answer in verse 16. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, we know you are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Look at that. And when you know that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Moshiach Nagi, the Son of the living God, then there is special revelation that comes to you. And I want you to see it here in the next part of this same chapter. He says in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. See, that's what we're talking about. Getting secret knowledge from our Father who is in heaven. He wants you to know some stuff nobody else knows. He wants you to know and have a close relationship that he did send his own Son, who came in the likeness of sinful flesh, Paul says. He came on a mission from his Father to give his life as a ransom for your sin and mine. We were being held hostage by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And Jesus came to break that curse right off of you and give you freedom in God's mind and in his word, in his kingdom, to make you a citizen of the kingdom and not just a citizen of this world. Because the scripture says that this world is passing away in the fashion thereof, but they who do the will of God abide forever. And so you want to change your family. Get the secret knowledge from God. Allow him to enrich you through his word and through his Holy Spirit so he can teach you how to navigate with secret information. You don't have to look at what do the people say and all of that as we see here in this Matthew 16 passage. The people are saying stuff, but they're not on target. You and I want to get right on target with what God has done and what he has promised. And it's easy to see, really, in all honesty. You know, when I got saved, I used to wonder, boy, how did you miss this before? How could you not see that God has centered the whole world on his Son, on Jesus? It's obvious. Nobody can really deny it. You can see that and go, well, yeah. You know, and people are trying to change it now. You see people trying to adjust and say, oh, the calendar, really, that wasn't right. And they want to try to change it. But you know what? God fixed it where Jesus is in the middle of your life, whether you think so or not, whether you like it or not. No matter what, he's in your face. You won't be able to ever tell God that you didn't know about his Son. Because time is ticking every second on the clock based on the first advent of Christ. And you know what? There may come a time in days to come when Antichrist will try to change that and take it out. We see so many things now. And as they say, when the foundations are taken away, what will the people do? And so we see a lot of the foundations being destroyed and attacked right now in our culture. And I also need to say this right now, and I think many of you, most of you know, America is not the end result of everything God is trying to do. The ministry of Christ is to this entire world, to every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people. American politics is a little piece of that, a very small piece of it. And in recent days, American politics really has fallen completely out of sorts with God's word, because they have come to the conclusion, we don't need secret knowledge from God. We don't need his word at all. We don't need his commandments. Just throw it out. And so that's the reason why you see such a mess in American politics. But the scripture is written to the world. It's not only written to America. And you and I need to wake up to that reality. This is the truth, brothers and sisters. And you know it. If you trust God, you know what I'm talking about. So it's not about any particular group, any particular party in the United States. That is a small little piece of a bigger puzzle that God has given us light to see it in his word. So don't get hung up on that. Don't let that hang you up. Realize we need to pray. Because the word says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And he says, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. See, we have a sick land. We need to pray, because all of the politics have gone sour because they've cast away the truth. And as I mentioned, a lie is on the same list with murder. So you can't say, oh, I don't want to murder, but lying is okay. No, lying is a sin too, and you need to repent, whoever it is. If you're lying, you're just as bad as a murderer. Understand that. That's what God says. There's no big sin and little sin. Either you dishonor God, disgrace his word, or you don't. Simple as that. So strive for perfection, but realize it's not all an American thing. I don't care how many evangelicals say it is. You guys are wrong. It's two left shoes. I want to go on record. Right now, all of you are wrong. It's two left shoes. The word says that the Bible is to the world. It's not just to America. So we need to wake up and smell the coffee. So if you want the secret knowledge of God, you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you can receive his word, and God can teach you everything you need from his book. He doesn't need anything else. You don't have to be a high school graduate. You don't necessarily have to be a college graduate. It's okay if you are. But God can give this knowledge to a small child. And there's evidence of it in the word. We don't have time to exhaust that this evening. I'd like to show you that God is able, and as he says, to do exceeding and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or think. So let's look back at what happened with Peter. Let me get off my soapbox. In Matthew 16:16, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, Simon Barjona, that he called him by both his old name, Simon, and he's the son of Jonah, is what Barjona means. Bar means son. He's the son of Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah. He says, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. See that? That's that revelation from God. In other words, as Simon Barjona, there's no way you could know who I am. You cannot believe who I am. But my Father causes you to understand that I am the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's what Jesus said to Peter. And he said, notice on as we look on, and Jesus answered and said to him, you are blessed. Okay. Then he says, and I say unto you that thou art Peter. That means stone. That's his new name, not your old name, Simon Bar-Jonah. But upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God says the rock of his revelation is revelation by the Holy Spirit given to you by faith, that his Father in heaven gives to you. That's the secret knowledge that will help you navigate through this life. Now, we know from reading the rest of this text that he says this. Notice, let's go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it in 1 minute. He says here that I will give you the keys to the kingdom. That's what you need. That's giving you authority. Keys to the kingdom. I will unlock some stuff for you that otherwise is locked. Some knowledge that you don't have, because you receive revelation from my Father who is in heaven. You receive special knowledge how to not navigate through this life. I give you the keys to unlock the wisdom and the mysteries of God's Word. That's awesome. Oh, you need to get the keys. Let me say, when you trust Christ, the Holy Spirit will be given to you and you will have the keys of knowledge and understanding that you never had before. And then he goes on to say, I'll give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. God says, I'm giving you authority. Take what I said, what I teach, what I believe, you speak it with authority, and I bind it. In other words, I'm going to make it legitimate. I'm going to make it stand against all your adversaries and all the opposition that you have to face. I'm going to give power to the things that you bind, because you know where you got it from? From God's Word. This is why I tell you, the Scripture is not about America only. America's a small piece of a bigger puzzle, but God is preaching to the world. We want every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, and people, black, white, blue, whatever color you happen to be, Jew or Gentile. The Word of God is to everybody on earth. And so you and I have to understand that. Don't get your mind stuck in an American box. America's wonderful. God bless America. But America has thrown God out. You and I need to be aware of it. We need to understand. I want to stay locked in on the Creator who made all things, who will be the judge of all things. We want to argue about judges and all that. God's going to judge everything by His Word. And His Word said that when the heavens and the earth have passed away, my Word will never pass away. So I want to use the keys that He's given me and speak to you the power and the authority of Jesus Christ and His Word and His gospel that He gives to those who believe in Him. See, it's not an American thing. Don't let anybody Americanize this. You know, the Scripture was here before America was discovered. And now America's discovered and we've got all kinds of technology, but oh, we don't need God now. We can throw it out. I think that's exactly why we're going down the tubes. And so we need to watch it. This is really a serious thing. Now, this is what he says. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. God says, I want to give you that authority. So in order to have this peace, and learn to walk by faith, not by sight, realize that it's revelation from God that's going to bless you more than anything else. You know what? If I trust, I don't trust all these other things. I'm not trusting in anything but God. You know, the government can do whatever it wants. Go ahead. You know, do what you want. You don't do what you want to do anyway. Half the time you don't get the things that you think that they should do anyway. But the fact is, God has us on a mission as His church. And if we trust Him and believe that God has raised His Son, Jesus, from the dead, that excites me. I'm more excited about that than some of the stuff that we hear out here. I call it, I'm going to say it's BS. It's bogus science. It's not for real. It is definitely bogus because it cannot be proven. But they keep asserting it. And if we can get 12 people to say it, then all of a sudden we call it science. No, it's not. Science doesn't work that way. That's BS. Bogus science. It's not for real. And y'all can quote me on that if you like. But I want you to understand God loves you. He's given His Son for you. It's the most central thing in life. And I want you to know that God will give you special knowledge by His Holy Spirit if you trust and believe that He has raised His Son, Jesus, from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. Now, that means His work is done and we don't have to worry about anything because God has already consecrated His Son, seated Him at His right hand, and He's at the place of power and He can return at any moment. So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Nobody else could have told us. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Amen. So we hope that you're trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and leaning not to your own understanding. You don't have to understand all this, but trust God and believe Him. And you shall be saved. Let me add before we close out our period here that we have been working on some things. God has been blessing us, opening some new doors for us. And one thing I want to mention to you is our podcast is available. We've moved it to the front page of our website. And you'll find us online at teachingbible.org. And you can tap right into all the podcasts on teachingbible.org. And we thank God for you. And thank you for your support. We want to let you know that you can support the ministry there through the podcast or even through Facebook if you desire to do so. And, of course, all of our contact information is also available on teachingbible.org. So we hope that you'll visit the website and be enriched in many more things. Amen. Having said that, I want to close with a word of prayer. If you have heard the good news today for the first time and you have not been saved, we want to invite you to ask Christ to be your personal Savior. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we come today, Father, we confess our sins. And we know that you said if we confess our sin, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, we trust totally and only in your Son, your beloved Son, Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God, who you allow to be crucified for our transgressions. And you raised him out of the grave to show that only he has power and authority over the grave. And so, Father, we're excited about the resurrection. And, Father, we ask you to impart the Spirit of God to the life of everybody who trust him and believe him, that they might know that they're saved, that they may know that they have eternal life. You said, these things write I unto you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, Father, give us that relationship with you. You said, this is life eternal, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Bless us, O God, today with understanding. Bless that person that's crying out right now, Lord, save me. Right now, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, and we ask you to bless all our friends, our brothers, our sisters, and every person that's hearing my voice, that they might get this supernatural knowledge that you have provided through your Holy Spirit by faith in your Son. We give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. We ask a blessing on every household, every home and family that's under the sound of my voice. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead and give God your best praise. Amen. We'll be announcing some new things in the coming weeks, and we hope that you have enjoyed this lesson today. If you have questions, comments, or anything you'd like to say or have addressed during the Bible study, please send them to us at however you want to. We've got a lot of different ways you can contact us. Amen. You can call the podcast, actually, and leave a message there, and we may feature your question or your comment on the podcast program if you do that. Amen. So we want to thank God for you, and we give you, right now, we're going to give you back to whatever you were doing, and we just want to ask you to pray for us as we continue to grow in Christ. Amen. We hope that you are navigating through life with secret information. Amen.